Well, good evening. Thank you for making the effort to come out. It's much appreciated. Peter and I were talking in between meetings this morning, and we were just rejoicing over our young people here and how much they're involved in the assembly. I can tell you I do a lot of traveling and speaking, and it is rare to see what we see here. And so all the young men and women that are so involved here, what an encouragement it is to the assembly. I'm going to have you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'm going to read a verse before we get there. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it'll be a very familiar passage. But I want to read this verse in Hebrews first, Hebrews chapter 12 again, probably quite familiar to all of us, but it's good to go over these things. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses, or crowd of witnesses, one version says, let us strip away every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let me read that again. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Tonight we're going to look at, it's the second in messages that a couple of weeks ago I did a morning session here, and we talked about the anatomy of repentance. And at that time we looked at Psalm, especially Psalm 51, and it really was written after this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 11. So tonight we're going to look at the sin that so easily besets us, so easily trips us up. And we're going to look at the example of a man here who is a man after God's own heart, David. And when we read this story, it sort of takes us aback a little bit. But it really shouldn't if we understand our own nature. And have you ever thought about this? I just want to bring you to, I'll tie this together in a minute. You ever wonder why sugar is so destructive? Okay. I learned that young when I was a young lad, not because I went to the dentist, and I did, and not because I had cavities, and I did, and the dentist said, quit eating sugar. Seriously, because sugar is acidic, causes cavities, right? But sugar is much more destructive than that. If you were to eat 20 donuts, and don't do it, okay, this has been done, by the way, which is just straight fat and carbohydrates, turns to sugar in nanoseconds. Your blood sugar will probably go to skyrocket, but you have an organ dedicated to bring it back. It's called your pancreas, and it secretes a hormone called insulin. And we know more about that today than, listen, when I was a teenager, my dad came home, I was 16. And he came home and he hadn't been feeling well, and my dad was bigger than life to me, even when I was a teenager and rebellious as I was. And it bothered me that he wasn't well, so he gathered us as a family, I'll never forget it, around the kitchen table. And he said, listen, I'm a diabetic. Well, I didn't know anything about diabetes in 1968. Here's what I knew. My grandfather died of it. But my dad, he changed his life immediately. I mean, the next day, he was literally in Timmins, Ontario, jogging on the spot. Now, in 1968, the only people that ran were people that were being chased by the police. Like, there was no Steve Gonders jogging and guys like that. You didn't go jogging. We didn't even know what that was. But my dad, the next morning, I'm not kidding you, I get up to go to high school, and my dad's running on the spot in the carpet. My mom kicked him out by second day, and he started running outside around our yard, and then he went around. And within about a month, I said, Dad, you wake me up, I'll go with you in the morning. And, but sugar is so destructive because, and then my dad in his diet, he was the first guy I ever saw. So if you wonder how old diet soda is, well, in 1968, there was two diet sodas. There was Tab and Fresca. And I said to my dad, they taste like urine. Like that? Why would you drink that? He said, son, it's sugar diabetes. What? Well, it's sugar diabetes. You see, in 1968, it was called sugar diabetes. And it wasn't until the food industry took it and ran with it and called it type 2 adult onset diabetes. But it's sugar diabetes. And sugar is destructive. If you don't believe it, ask a diabetic. Circulation, right? You can't leave sugar park in your bloodstream. You can't. That's why you have an organ dedicated to get it out of there. That's what insulin does. You're in sugar. You're in a no parking zone. You can't park in the bloodstream. Out. Even if you've had 20 donuts, you can't park there. Out. I'm going to park you somewhere else. And the sugar, insulin parks you in muscles or in liver or fat cells. But the reason I say that is because sugar is destructive, but so is sin. So is sin. And it says in the spring of the year, it was like playoffs. Right? It was like playoffs in hockey. When does hockey playoffs start, right? They've been taking over our TVs for the last, well, not you Leaf fans, but, you don't know what the playoffs are, but, the rest of us, Hab fans, and Winnipeg, I don't think was there either, come to think of it. It was the playoffs of the year. What's that? Mitch Marner, yeah, well, we could talk about him. In the spring of the year, when the kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Big mistake. Big mistake. Now, there may have been good reasons for David to stay behind. Because he was vulnerable to be killed, and that would really discourage the Israeli army. So they might have had good reasons. David here is, what we're told is David is around 50 years old here. He's no spring chicken. David is around 50 years old, and David is called a man after God's own heart. And the reason I bring this up, and the reason this is so such, even though it's a disturbing passage, it is such a practical passage for you and for I. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just go there for a minute. I want you to read it. You might know this very well, but it says here in verse 12, You might have memorized this passage, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Okay? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Here's David, a man after God's own heart, around 50 years old. And think of what this man had accomplished in his life. Think of the start of David. I mean, every kid knows this. You don't even have to be a Christian to know this story. David and Goliath. Imagine David and his fight with Goliath. Talk about inspiring. But take heed. He that thinketh he stand, lest he fall. Here's David in a very vulnerable position because he was safer on the battlefield. He was safer with the army than he was on his rooftop that day. Think about this for a minute. Put yourself in David's position. You went for a little nap in the afternoon. Anybody ever done that? I love, like, I don't know if it's just my age. Well, no, I always liked naps in the afternoon. I did. Even when I was working and seeing patients, I'd go home. I could sleep. I was asleep. 10 minutes and I'd wake up. I had to go back to the office. Now I sleep longer in the afternoon. Did you think for 1 minute, think about this for a minute. Do you think for 1 minute that David, for 1 minute that afternoon, ever thought that what would happen that same afternoon after he woke up from his nap, that it would change his life forever and change his family's trajectory? Did you think he ever thought of that? I think not. And David was, one of the things with sin is that there's for a Christian, there's a couple of things involved if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That was written for Christians, okay? Because for a Christian, there's always a way out. Always. You can never say, well, I was tempted beyond what I was able to bear. You could never say that. It doesn't matter what sin it is, because that would be against Scripture, because Scripture tells you it doesn't matter what the situation is, God will always provide a way of escape. But we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that you and I have sin that so easily besets you, easily trips you up. And your sin may be far different than what easily trips Tony Martin up. But David, he gets up, he sees. Now, I can tell you that God was speaking to his heart right at that minute. David, run, Forrest, run. Flee, the Bible tells us. Sexual immorality. And you can be sure David knew he went through roadblocks that God had set up even in his mind that day. David, you can't undo what you saw. But so far you haven't sinned. You saw. You know, one of the things with David not being on the battlefield is a couple of things. One, idleness. We, you and I, are more vulnerable to sin, especially of the mind, is when we are unoccupied. Like, we have it, guys. Like, you don't have to go far, right? You don't have to go far. Idle. And scrolling. It's amazing, right? Like how fast it'll come up. But again, there's no excuse to sin, is there? Run. Stop. And David went through these roadblocks. And think of David at the end of his life. This sin here, by the way, with Bathsheba, cost him a lot. His boys all were corrupted because of that sin. David's boys and family, think of Tamar, one of his daughters, raped by her half-brother. Think of what flowed from there and corrupted the family from there. But David was a man after God's own heart. And what we read the last time that I was speaking about repentance is that David, being a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart, repentance is part of that. Because if you think for 1 minute that God doesn't know all about you and what you're like, and when the Bible says you know what you ought to know what your weaknesses are, God knows those too, doesn't he? About you and about me. And he knows everything about us. And a big part of being a man or a woman after God's own heart is repentance. And I don't know about your past week, or even today, perhaps, you had to repent because you sinned today. Is it possible on a Sunday? Yeah, more than possible, isn't it? And it may have not been like David's here. It might have been something else. It might have been the tongue. It might have been attitude. Or do you know what I'm saying by that? And so he's vulnerable. Why? Because he's at ease. And we need to be careful about that. And the other thing is, David gets up from his sleep, and we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 that you and I don't wrestle. Again, here's a Christian, okay? Because the rest of the world, they don't fight this, guys. They don't fight this. The rest of the world don't wrestle against principalities and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You see, because the Bible tells us about the rest of the world. 1 John 5 and 19. The whole world, what? Lays under the sway of the evil one. You know what that means? Satan's got the world right here in his back pocket. You look at people. They think they're free. They're not free at all. They serve their master. They serve Satan. They'd never, ever think of that. And they most people in, if you went through Sudbury, he'd tell you that he doesn't even exist. But you and I know different, don't we? And when you're idle, and when you don't have you're not ready. Christian, listen. One thing that you and I need to understand more than anything else, I think, about this whole message is how vulnerable you are and I am. And you know why? It's the person you're going to have the most trouble with all your life is you. You got you, and the closer you get to God, you go, yikes. You agree with the diagnosis. Put your hand up. The heart is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked, including yours and mine. There's no cure for it. There's no cure for your heart. You have to have a new one. You need a heart transplant because our hearts are corrupted. And that's the closer we get to Christ, the more you and I understand that. Who are you going to have the most trouble with all of your Christian life? You. It's that flesh. It's the old Tony. And man, oh man, I'm 74 years old, and Tony loves to come around every day, every day, every day. The old Tony. And you're no different than me, I don't think. Right? And then on the other side of this, it's the involvement of your enemy. You have an enemy that put a target on your back. And he's into analytics. You know what that is? Like, anybody here play baseball? Baseball is all analytics. Okay, what is that? Well, when I go up to the plate, the opposing team goes, well, he's a pull hitter. That means he's going to hit to the right side. So let's set up our defense that way, right? You ever watch Blue Jays? They're all into analytics. They take out a little piece of paper, the outfielder. You ever see that? The outfielder or even the infielder. In between batters, they take out a little piece of paper. Oh, Joe Blow is up. He likes to hit the opposite field or whatever, right? Because it's analytics. Hockey. There was no analytics when I coached hockey. Hardly at all. And you didn't worry about the other team. You tried to get your guys going. But now it's all analytics. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Satan is into analytics. You know that verse, Hebrews 12? The sin and the weight that so easily besets you? Satan knows that one too. He knows that. He's your enemy. And if you don't think he's formidable, I invite you to read the book of Job and what Satan can do. Now, he can never do anything to you unless you allow him, because the Bible's very clear about this. The Bible says you resist the devil and he will flee from you. A Christian that is filled with the Spirit, that understands our weaknesses, will stand up against the devil. You flee from sin, but you don't flee from the devil, because he's a liar. Satan uses this. He knows your weakness. Think about that for a minute. You got a big target on your back, not on your front. You don't have a target here. You got a target on your back. Don't turn your back to Satan. You speak the word to him. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. And Satan takes your weakness, whatever that is, and he will use it against you. And here's David, who was a master warrior. Think of David. Man, that slingshot. You don't think he didn't practice that? Hour after hour after hour, he was scared of nothing. And he took that slingshot. And man, oh man. Well, you read about it in the Bible. Guys could hit a target with a slingshot. Part of Israeli armies, they're crack forces. You read some of the guys that were in David's Navy SEALs. Man, they could hit you 100 yards away with a slingshot hit you right where they wanted to nail you. Think of how good they were. That's David. And here's David. His vulnerability. His vulnerability that Satan knew. Who would be a bigger fish for Satan than David at the time? What did he do? Again, David can't say, well, the devil made me do it. James chapter 1 tells us, and you don't have to go there. Let me just read it to you. James 1 says this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, well, God is tempting me. You can't say that. God has never tempted anyone to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes where? From our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. It comes again from the corruption within. David, a man after God's own heart, had weaknesses. Now, let's just talk about his sin for a minute. Okay? Let's talk about this. I wrote this down, so let me get it. While you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 18, okay? But I want to read this to you, okay? Now, some of you might recognize this, okay? In the criminal justice system, okay, anybody ever watch Law and Order? Okay? Bunch of liars. Have you never watched Law and Order? Been gone for 50 years. Well, not that long, but in the criminal justice system, you know how they start law and order, right? Sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. That's the SVU, okay? Special Victims Unit, okay? In the criminal justice system, sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Christian life, it's no different. And let's read about it. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Run from sexual sin. There it is again. Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. Run. What did Joseph do? Same situation as David. Think about it. So we have a good example. Here's Joseph. What did Joseph say to Mrs. Potiphar? The whole world, who cares? Who would have known? This was secret. Who would have found out? Joseph ran. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, Christian. You don't belong to yourself. You look what it says. For God bought you. And my version here says, with a high price. He bought you with a high price. Folks, go back to the cross. What did it cost God to buy you and me? Think about that. Think about the cost. So you must honor God with your body. You must honor him. Don't dishonor God in this way. I just In chapter 7, don't even turn there, but it does say this. Because I want to show you how Satan is involved. Okay? How does he get involved in your life? It says here afterwards, okay, this is talking about couples here in marriage. You should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see? Okay, this is really key, guys. This is really key. Satan is no match. Is no match when a Christian is in control. He'll flee. He fleed from Joseph. I can't win with this guy. I can't do it. I was hoping. And Joseph, vulnerable, young man, good looking, had the world by the tail, even though his brothers had sold him into slavery. He was a young man that was on his way up. He was Potiphar's right-hand man, and Joseph ran Satan out the door with him. Folks, it's our lack of self-control. You see, the Bible says this. Work hard, Philippians chapter 2. Work hard. You're saved? Work hard. Not just physical work. Work hard to be disciplined. Is there anything that can happen good in your life without discipline? Can you name me one thing that can happen in your life without discipline? Self-control? Good that can happen? Can your marriage be good without self-control? Can your workplace be good without self-control? Of course not. But God, you see, Philippians chapter 2 has the answer. God says, Paul says to the Philippians, work hard on your salvation. Work hard, not to be saved, but because you're saved. And then it says, and God will work in you. And here's what God does. His part of the equation is so beautiful because it says he provides the power. God provides power. You know what the hardest, probably the hardest word in the English language is? No. I won't do it. No. Right? That's a hard word. You think that was easy for Joseph to say no? Do you think it was easy for David? But he should have. And God would have worked with him. God would have provided the desire and the power. You know what David had to do to sin? He had to go right through roadblocks. Don't do it, David. This is spinning in his mind. Don't do it. David, look away. Go for a walk. Put on your Nikes and go for a run. Get out. Don't stay on the rooftop. Sin is like sugar. It'll destroy. It'll destroy. And when we read, we did it the last time, so I'm not going to do it again. But the last time we talked about, okay, here David, he sins. And you know the story. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse. I mean, if he would have just stopped and confessed and, you know what I mean? I don't know what would have happened, but the rest is history because it did happen. But guys, everything in that Old Testament, when we read stories like that, is for you and for me. Now, I'm going to speak to the men here just for a minute, okay? Ladies, I don't have your anatomy nor your biochemistry. So I can't tell you what it's like for you. But I used to do a lot of youth conferences until I got old. They don't want me no more. But I used to tell young men this. I said, there's a blood test that you can take. Yeah? Oh, yeah? It shows you if you're vulnerable or not. You can take a blood test. It's not your A1C, by the way. Prick your finger, and if it comes out red, and you're a man here, this is for you. Every one of us here. I'm looking at all of you. And there ain't anybody in this room. I don't care if you're Dave Duffy's age, senior, and my age, and who's the youngest boy in this thing. Don't matter. Job? Maybe. But it don't matter. If you think for one second that you're better than David, for a half a second. You see, everything in the Old Testament, these stories, God puts them in with the warts and the wrinkles and the garbage, and they're in the Bible. And they're there for what? For us to read and to be examples. Take heed, he that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. It's for everyone. And we need that armor, don't we? We need to put on the whole armor of God. See, David is ill-equipped on that day. He wasn't thinking battle, but he was in the battle. He would have been better off on that battlefield with Joab and the rest of the Israelites, his army, than with staying home on the roof of his palace that night. And then he meets Nathan, tries to hide, cover up. You know what? I think this is just me. I think everybody in Jerusalem and surrounding areas knew all about David and Bathsheba. You know how rumors spread? Guys, don't take long, right? Uriah's dead. And look what happened. Bathsheba's dead, and she's pregnant. Can you imagine? And God's name is blasphemed because of David. And he hides it. And I just want to talk about the result, just like I'm bringing it to sugar again. Sugar is so destructive, guys. Ask a diabetic. You know why? Because it destroys your blood vessels. And blood vessels destroy nerves. And so you have your eyes, neuropathy, right? You have your limbs. You have your kidneys, you have your heart. A diabetic is 50% more likely to have a heart attack than the normal population. Why is that? Blood supply. Sin, guys, is the same way. It's destructive. And here's David trying to hide it. You know what happens to him? Well, Nathan comes and tells him a story. He said, David, I got to tell you about this little lamb. David knew all about lambs. He said, I got to tell you, this guy had a little pet. He didn't have any other lambs, but he had this lamb, and it was his little pet. It even slept with them. You guys that sleep with your dogs. Just kidding. Anyway, but you know the story, right? You know, he only had one, and then a rich man who had all sorts of lambs, and he said, I want that one because I got a visitor coming. And David, the steam is coming out his ears. He's so angry when Nathan tells him the story. Remember that in chapter 12? David's steam coming out. That guy should die. Where is he? I'm going to go kill him myself. But you know what, guys? Here's the point. Here's the point of David. When you conceal sin, it's not very far deep inside. This had been my experience with people and experience with Tony himself. When people are the angriest, they have hidden sin in their lives. When people are the most judgmental, You look under the hood, you hang around them long enough, and you find out they got a lot of problems under that hood, personal problems. And so they like to look out and look at everybody else. That was David. You let me get at that guy, I'll take that guy's life myself. And Nathan, oh, I tell you, I love the courage of this man. His head could have come off. He was the king he was talking to. And he said, David, you're the man. It's you. It's you. And you know what, guys? When we don't, and we're not, it's part of repentance. And I brought this out in Psalm 51. You know what God wants? The truth. That's what he wants. God wants the truth. And don't couch it. Don't soft pedal it. Don't make excuses for it. If you and I have sin in our life, say it exactly the way it is. Because without it, there's no repentance. And David got confronted about that anger that was inside of him because it had a root. It was a hidden sin. And it, you know what? Physically, guys, this would be another message. But it's amazing how physically sin will affect your life. Physically. Think of the people, and I don't know if you know anybody like this. They spend their life worrying. And they're a Christian. That's a sin. No, may not be something you worry about. But a lot of people, they live in the rearview mirror. And anything they see out there is dark. I'm not trying to get into what comes first, the chemistry or whatever. All I know is David, it says it in Psalm 32. David said he was sick. He had pain in his bones, he said, because of the sin that he was trying to hide. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, oh God. Oh Lord, just pray for each and every one that's come tonight. Father and Lord, we take that Hebrews, Father, in chapter 12, and the sin and the weight or the habits or whatever that so easily trip us up, oh God. You know our hearts. You know our weaknesses. And Lord, we confess them to you. And Father, we thank you that you're a God of grace, that you're a God of mercy, so willing to forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I pray a blessing, Lord, on each and every one here tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.